This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge. Baton, I say up and running. Caliban say my shabby don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them coming. Today see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason, reason. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only passion for a season, season. Cutless, I go weed them, weed them. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely fine. Smoke Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scrooge Scroogey or Scroogey. Or Daddy Scrooge, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m., except holidays. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232-325-4316 and 325-4259. And you can text at GR96. And again, it's a wonderful Friday night. I hope each and every one of you is trying to have a wonderful time. You know, you work hard all week or hustle hard all week, and it's time to enjoy yourself. So enjoy yourself with due diligence and care. And please, on your way home, please drive with due caution and care, because the life you save might very well be your own. We had a lot of traffic fatalities recently. Some cases, neglect of driving, preoccupied. Most cases, either on the cellular phone, speeding, or making the wrong turns in the wrong turning lanes. Pay attention to the red light, not because the light is on red means you still have the right of way to go, even though you do, but you have to let the car with the right of way. And there's no car coming in order to turn. Most people are just ignoring. They're just not hesitating or even waiting and just pulling up before the car that has the right of way has a chance to even, how else I should say, drive with due care. Many people make it reckless. So please drive with due care and caution. We had a show last week, a very interesting show. And we're going to do a continuation as far as the John Canoe part and how we can benefit from the John Canoe tourism industry. We do that in the second half of the show. But what I wanted to talk about today, like I said, we're going to talk about it in the second half of the show. I want to talk about today on the Prime Minister's wife, on Mary Davis. She drawings called for material rape laws in the country to be implemented in the law books, saying rape is rape, which I truly support 150%. Rape is rape. And we should, you know, make amendments with our legislators to make this a priority. But it's all said and done. I hope it don't be a one-sided thing, because I feel that based on society, we look at it as all male. You know, the male is all wrong in many of the circumstances. You know, I'm not saying that a man should ever put his hand on a female. But sometimes a female could be very provoking and put a hand on a man, vice versa. So I hope it is where there's a lot to think about in this whole marital rape, implementing or suggestion of passing a law that, you know, saying that a husband, if a husband is, must he probably found guilty of it, probably jail time. I know it's going to be very difficult because the oath that they both took is law also. And I think all that's going to be taken into consideration. That should also be taken into consideration. You know, so it's a very delicate situation. You know, like I said, I'm all for it. But like I said, there's a lot to think about, because there are a lot of abusive husbands and there are a lot of abusive females who abuse their husband as well. I hope they put something in that, probably suggestions or legislation that looks to pass in the House of Assembly, you know, because they are abusive women, wives in relationships also. You know, they are abusive women who take advantage of their husbands in relationship, just as well as they are abusive men who take advantage of their wives. You know, it's not also 100% when it comes to family values in the country. This thing goes deep. I think Ms. Davis is doing a tremendous job as to be a part of this, because I think as the leader, first lady of the nation, she should lead in the charge with females, but also consider some circumstances around it, you know, because like I said, we have some abusive wives, you know, who take advantage of their husbands, you know. Their husbands are submissive, you know. Some women say they don't want to be submissive, but some men are submissive in their marriage because the woman, she controls the marriage, you know, and she dictates on what goes on in the marriage, you know. You know, you say you don't want no man to hit a woman, but you have many men who are submissive to their woman, and then she used that as a way to abuse him and then insult him, you know, because he is not physically, you know, one who's going to put his hands on her. So she uses that as leverage and talks to him badly, treats him badly. He works, pays all the bill. You know, I was watching someone on Facebook, and Mary Dachson was there, and there was this gentleman, and, you know, I don't want to say the late. I don't want to say who the accuser is or if she was wrong. I just got one part of the video, but on the video it's for everyone to see, and on the video you could see he's stating his house, his name is on the paperwork. His wife no longer wants him in the house. He built a house before his wife and him got married, but she no longer wants him. She puts him out. He has no more key anytime you go around the house, and et cetera, and et cetera. So what about a situation like that? You know, he's a submissive man, you know. He's not putting the sign on his wife. I don't even think he's trying to rape his wife, you know. So what we do in that case, you know, because that exists, you know. And this thing about men, I think that what should be mentioned, since that we're going to advocate for criminal charges to be pressed in the march, which, like I said, is going to be very hot. But here's the thing. Why not, at the same time, say, hey, if this is going to be the case where we have this marital rape, and that if you get married and the man is abusive, and if his wife say no, and he decides to get on top of her, right? And he decides to do what he has to do without her consent, then this should be a preventative measure. We should have in place now training sessions where we'd say to you, man, to men, if you get married, consider these things. You know, when you get married, these are the requirements when you get married, you know, because you got to make stipulation now. Because if this is laws passed, it means that you could be held accountable for your action against your wife in a marriage. So now, since Mrs. Davis, which I think is doing a tremendous job of bringing awareness, but then there are some things that they're missing. You know, this is a part of the solution. Penalty is a part of the solution. Prosecution is a part of the solution. But that could be the end part. Because we need to teach our men, you know, if you want to get married, we got to teach our females. Ms. Davis, she's leading the females in the country. She can also start a program where teach young ladies on what is expected of you to be a wife, so that your husband wouldn't have to, attempt to rape you or rape you. What it is to be a woman, you know, because we have in a relationship, men don't want to hit women. You know, men don't want to hit women in a lot of relationship, but the things that come out of a wife or a girlfriend's mouth can be very intimidating to the man. The same way how a man could be very abusive in him speaking to his girlfriend or his wife, you know, saying all kind of things about, you know, this and that, which, you know, if you love a person, you care about a person, there's no reason for you to say these things, because words are very abusive. Words are more dangerous than hitting people, you know, and these things can get you upset, you know, and violent. And this is why we have a lot of abusive relationship in the country, because we just don't know how to talk to one another, even though we're husband and wife, you know, or boyfriend and girlfriend. And then we have this thing we got odd now where we have male to male and woman to woman relationship now. So that's the next mix-up thing that we got to think about. And the administration also got to think about things like this, for instance, you know, same-sex marriage, you know. How is this going to affect same-sex marriage to individuals, you know, like, sorry for saying it, like, now release Brittany Griner. You know, she's married. And when I listen, she is the husband. So I guess the next female is the woman. You understand? So how are you going to decide? I mean, they didn't decide who's the husband and who decided is the woman. Okay, so what about these cases? When they, you understand, you know, even though we don't have same-sex marriage over here, but people from traveling the world have these issues when they come to the Bahamas and want to live here, and then they're married and they could be same-sex married and they're here in the country, and then something, you know, I mean, you understand what I'm saying? So how are we going to, how is this is going to affect it also? You know, because we're able to take a look at all this stuff, you know. Rape is rape. You know, and how are we going to deal with the different dynamics of it? You know, it's very tricky. It's a very tricky situation, you know. It's a very tricky and delicate situation. But let me read some. You know, like I say, I need some glasses. But the wife of the Prime Minister, First Lady Anna Marie Davis, said no men's, no, hold on. No men's, no, oh, excuse me. No men's, no, and join countless others, behemoth officials and activists calling for marital rape to be outlawed. Mrs. Davis' comments came at the final monthly forum for the year for the Department of Gender and Family Affairs and the Ministry of Social Service at the Edmund Moxie Center. We must agitate and hold our policy makers accountable. We want them to upgrade outlaw, upgrade our laws, and we really need that. Imagine we are still living in a society where no does not mean no. How could that be? I tell you no, and you think I mean yes. So, of course, I'm talking about marital rape. No means no. And then one of the other reasons also would be to have to look at it since Ms. Davis made the statement. When she's saying, I'm saying no, and the person is saying yes. What if this is the upbringing of this young gentleman, and this is how he turned out to be from being abusive or an abusive household at a very young age? In reference, the former commissioner of police, there was an incident that happened on Bay Street. I think it was before the COVID-19 pandemic, where a young individual and a few other young individuals were probably behaving in unmanly fashion on Shirley Street. And we saw a video where officers were seen putting the baton on the young gentleman. And to us, it looked very violent. And many of us on social media, we spoke about the issue. And then the commissioner responded, the then commissioner responded, and his words are, it's what we get from the community that comes on the force. So what the commissioner is saying is, that's how the person was brought up. That officer who you see on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, who's swinging that baton in unregular fashion towards the next human being, was brought up in that community. So even though Mrs. Davis and many females are calling for their voice to be legislated in the House of Parliament, we must take into account that what you're talking about, this is like the last stage, you see, because this goes deeper than that. This goes to the fact that the individual who's now married, he or she, probably a two, the husband and the wife, they are bringing what's abnormal. You know, they never had the proper family structure, but they just wanted to get married. No one ever taught them what it is to have a family. In reference, Ms. Davis, I'd like to say this to you. You and the Honorable Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, you two are a wonderful couple. You have a wonderful family structure, home, where Ms. Davis accompanies you everywhere you go, and she supports you. She wipes your face. She cooks for you. You travel together. You had wonderful kids together. Started a career together and supported one another, you know. And that started at an early age. That's something that developed over the course of 30, 40, probably even 50 years, the love you have between you two. You understand? And that, in essence, brought a wonderful family structure, a wonderful connection between you and your wife. You and your wife could argue, right? But you understand one another. You understand what's at stake with one another. Y'all respect one another. Know that together, as one, we are strong, because the oath that you take, say, the husband and the wife are one. So that's why it's going to be very hard for this law to pass, because how are you going to separate the husband and wife as one when you married? You see? Now, I'm not an expert, but I know the simple basic. And I know that right there, the covenant right there. And then they say, tell that, do you part? So it's going to be hard for any law, regardless of how no is no. It's going to be hard, very hard, on those 2 points they just give. Tell that, do his part. And how I said it again? The husband and wife are one. See, that bounds them, and that is law. You see? So, Brave Davis, let me say it the right way. The Honorable Brave Davis and the First Lady, Mrs. Davis, the Prime Minister and First Lady of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, they're happily married. And they know how to, you know, I don't know if Ms. Davis ever, if Brave ever would have tried and do something like, you know, but I know based on their, how I should say it, you could see that they have a mutual understanding in their relationship, you know. They understand one another, so I guess no is no in that relationship, right? But for many of us who, like the commissioner believes, former commissioner believes stated, didn't have the proper upbringing. And then I tell you, a female. So I'm showing you what a happy marriage looks like. Okay? With the Davises. Or like Ransom Lyndon Pinlin and Sir Lyndon Pinlin was living, the late great Sir Lyndon Pinlin. And his wife, Lady Pinlin, is living today. Or the Butlers, Marlowe Butler and his wife. You know, that was a good family structure where they understood one another. And I don't think those things occur in their marriage. I think over the course of the breakdown of society in the last 50 years in the country, with the alcohol problem we had, with the cocaine problem we had after that, it destabilized the family structure. So what I'm saying to Ms. Davis and to the organization, I fully support you guys 150%. Also, Rise Bahamas, Janelle Burrows, who's doing a fantastic job. She has a show that she'd be doing on Atlantis tomorrow. So those could probably show that support for the Neil Bros. Yeah. And they're not like you guys. So we're gonna have to teach our young men, before you get married, this is required of you. So we have to teach our young ladies, before you get married, this is required of you. And then we have to teach them what marriage is all about. It's not something you go into jokingly and think it's some kind of joke. You get married and you still get a girlfriend, or you're married, you still get 2-3 boyfriend, or you're married, you get 1-3 girlfriend on the side, and your girlfriend coming, your ex, your sweetheart coming to your wedding. You know? You know what has happened? See, you're respecting the covenant and you're respecting God. So what you're doing is destroying yourself. You think because what you're doing, your darkness wouldn't come out the light. But that's the Father of above. And when you give that oath, you and your wife or your husband becomes one. And if you violate that, and anyone who violate that, you want to see all kind of bad things that happen here? What they say happened here? When you go bother with a married person, they say all kind of bad things happen to you, right? I lie. So if you see a ring on someone's hand, right, and on our side, you know, people who married, they should never be cheating. You understand? Because what you don't realize, right? Listen to me closely. What you don't realize is that you're breaking a covenant with the Father. If you don't believe in him, but you believe in something because you gave an oath. Regardless if you don't believe in nothing, right? You still gave an oath. Why you gave the oath? Because you still believe in something, you know? Just like an atheist. They don't believe this and they don't believe that, but yet still they go to the funeral. They still go to the church. Show respect to the dead or to a loved one who passed away. There are certain things we can't explain, but we have some type of connection. You understand what I'm saying? I hope I ain't making any sense to anyone out there. Yeah. So, if you're married, he or she, and you're just scheming, yes, it's fun, but you're damaging and hurting yourself, and you never know the person, just say your husband, who you're cheating on for a next guy, could be the person God sent to take care of you the rest of your days, to be the person who would wash your foot, you know, wash your back, comb your hair, wash your clothes, and do all the stuff that what a man's supposed to do, who appreciate you, you know, when you come home from work, you know, he treats you well. Same way the female would do, a male would do a female, you know. So when you go and you mess around with all that, your complete life, you know, you get a child and you start to cheat. He or she started to cheat. You know, it's all kind of problems start. You know, you start to go on the phone and your husband, you ain't want your husband to see your phone all of a sudden now, or the husband don't want the wife to see the phone, you know. Then all of a sudden now, yeah, you right back with that girl and you look, they started to cheat, both started to cheat. So now they ain't two people no more. It's four. And it ain't four because the two people you involved with, they have somebody too. And then that person could have two or three other person. So in that relationship, it's supposed to be between you and your wife, end up with 20 people involved in your life. And you don't even know it. Huh? You ever watch the thing with Mr. R. Kelly? The sequel? So you got to be very careful. Your husband and wife relationships can go from just husband and wife to about 20 people just through cheating. Or could probably go to 50 because some of the people you get involved with or you cheating on, they have multiple people. And then the next person across the next board with a husband checking up multiple people. And all you guys are having sex. So all your spirit is growing up in one another. So that's why it'd be up and down rowing, up and down fighting. You know? And then in between there, insecurity and jealousy. So that's why the husband wouldn't jump on the wife, not because he get catch cheating. Right? So his only object is now to take it. Or the same way, the wife get catch cheating. And the husband ain't even sleeping on no more. So she get aggressive and she take it. You know? So if we're going to think about these things, there's a lot to think about. Because it ain't just the men we have to worry about. We also have to worry about the female, in case y'all wasn't watching the news. Okay? You know? And if I was a man, I'm married, I would never want to jump on my wife if she didn't want to sleep with me. I'd feel ashamed and embarrassed that my wife didn't want to sleep with me. You know? Because she's supposed to love me. You know? Just as well, she could jump on me anytime. Because that's my wife. A nice husband. You know? I don't know how it's going to affect the boyfriend and girlfriend relationship when it comes to this. It can't be no marital rape, and they'll just probably be raped. So, you know? And looking at the relationship, you know, even me, you know, my relationship ain't pretty, you know. Strange world, you know. Strange world, you know. I up and down too, you know. But I learned composure, you know. I used to be with girls and they just don't sleep with me. You know, honestly speaking, you know, I don't feel none of it. You know why? Because I can control myself, you know. You know, it's hard, you know, having a girl because, you know, you're laying down with a woman and you're supposed to be your girlfriend and, you know, she ain't sleeping. Just the only thought comes to your mind, she's sleeping with somebody else, right? So, in doing so, you could have illusions. This won't have to be the case. You know, some stuff could happen, you know, where, you know, she might have decided to go whatever with the next guy and the guy break her heart. But I'm the one she no longer love, but she's still with me because we're living together or we have an apartment together. So she comes home, you know, her mind is crushed because this guy who she thought she loved hurt her. And because she spend and she send love that way, it's no longer my way, but I'm just a dead weight or a goon, you know? My feeling don't matter, you know? So in my desperation, you know, I feel her, they doing everything I can, she ignoring me, but her mind is someplace else. Just look at this. These are things we have to consider. This is real life stuff I'm talking. So I decide, man, she checking somebody else, she ain't here with me and laying on the side of me. I take it. You know, she get out, call a brother or call a cousin or go to the station and report us rape and a boyfriend and girlfriend relationship. Then they'd have to prove it. But this is what is happening in our country. You know, it ain't all 100% good where we just look out and say we're going to pass this bill. We have sexual abuse. We have I just saw it in the papers the other day. We have sexual abuse. We have a high rape. We have physical abuse. You know, at a very young age, with many of our females and males at a very young age in the country. And they're not properly trained. You know, so Ms. Davis, my advice to you as the first lady, this is my advice, and you lead such a wonderful team of people, especially powerful ladies in the country. My suggestion is you get a woman's group and you go around at high school and you teach these young ladies on how to be a lady like yourself and Lady Penlin and all those great ladies of the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and how a lady's supposed to dress, and how a lady's supposed to speak to a man, and how a lady's supposed to walk down the road, and how a lady's supposed to sit down when she's sitting on the streets, you know? Because if you're saying that we're going to talk about marital rape, this goes deep. It just don't go with the marital rape. It's the fact that many of our kids in the country have not been trained properly with family values and structure, you know? So we need more leaders like Miss Anne Marie Davis, First Lady, you know? And you could, you know, you have 4 years, and this is where you can gather the young ladies from around some of the high schools. You know, you can number down. You have a lot of powerful ladies around the country who would be more than welcome to join a great organization working with the First Lady. And then you help a lot of these young school teenagers on how it is and what it is to be a wife and what it is to be a young woman, and what is your future plan? You plan to get a house, start your own business, work for a few years. What kind of advice you're going to give them? And this is the kind of advice you're going to have to give to females in order for them to become productive wives of the future and mothers of the future, just as well as the males. You know, so it goes deep, you know. It goes deep in the country. You know, very, very deep. You know, I see it, you know. I understand where they're coming from. But this is not going to solve nothing. Even if we pass this law, our no is no, and we begin conviction in the courts. It's not going to stop because the problem goes way, way before that. It goes to when this young man is at the age of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, what he learned. Same thing with the female. If she is not brought up proper, and if he is not brought up proper, this is the way how we communicate. In the last 50 years, in the last 25, 30 years, violence, cursing, and carrying on is our way of settling things. You know, this goes with anger management. Most relationship in the country is always rowing and cursing back and forth, man and woman. Some even married. Boyfriend and girlfriend, this is just a regular occurrence. Why? Why? It's because we were not brought up proper. Miss Davis, you were brought up proper. Okay? But for many of the females in the inner city community who this law is going to be passed for, many of them are not being brought up proper. And it's going to be a one-sided law where you're only picking on the male. It's a two-way street. And all this year deals back to crime. This year, this call for marital rape law deals with crime. Okay? Yeah. 7:07, I got a few more minutes I'm going to talk about this. So if you want to talk about this subject real quick, you can call the numbers at 323-6232-325-4316 and 325-4259. And you could give me your opinion. And I know I'm making a lot of sense. You know. So my advice, don't get married. I'd say to anyone out there who want to get married, know what marriage is. What marriage is. Marriage means no cheating. If you're going to get married and have a sweetheart, don't get married. Don't get married. Because you could be cursing, you could be living a miserable life, and you could bring a lot of bastard in the world. Who are you going to neglect? Because that's what has happened now. That's like King David. You're married, you go cheat, you have this outside child, you love your wife, you know? So you have this child on the outside, you denied the child the opportunity to see his father because you don't want your wife to know that you had an outside child. Vice versa, the same thing with the female. She goes out there. She cheats on the husband. She doesn't tell the child. She doesn't tell the father the child is her own, is not his own. She insists that the baby is her own. He's happy. And come to find out, she cheated. She keeps it a secret. Eventually, it comes out to light. Then what happens then? You understand? So, to me, there have to be circumstances surrounding this marital rape issue. Because you have to dig in the background to see who's cheating, what caused this. You understand? So, boy, it's a lot. It's a lot to consider. But if we're just saying no is no and we should pass legislation, no. Consider all these things they're talking about. Because I tell you, it goes back to the homes and upbringing. And if we don't start programs where we're going to teach our females on how to be a woman, what it takes to be a woman, how to talk to your husband or to your boyfriend. All right? Without getting he or she agitated. Because we stink with our mouth. And we have some stink females with their tongue and say some very hurtful things to some people who love them just as well as the males. Say some very hurtful things to the female, which is beyond necessary sometimes. And this leads to altercation with stabbing because words, listen to me, words are more dangerous than anything, all right? You could get somebody mad and irate just by saying one or two words. You understand? Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah, so mysterious. I'm with you 150%, but there's a lot to consider with this marital rape laws. You know, because we get a lot of issues. And like I say, to all those who married out there, stop cheating, man. All you're doing is making things bad. You're having these outside children who you can neglect because you don't want your husband or your wife to find out that you're the outside children. You're going to neglect these children, deny them to see their father or to see their mother. They have to grow up knowing that they see their father. Probably they just know his name and probably see him when he slept and drop off something by his sweetheart. And then the child doesn't see, he or she doesn't see her father or her mother for about 2-3 years or a year or just a little high and stop by and that's it. The child is growing up without love and without parental guidance, and these things are key to a child's progress in life. And this is scientifically proven that a child that grows up in an environment with his mother and daddy, holding that child, nurturing that child, the child is more likely to be more successful than a child who has no parent and has to grow through the stages of life where when he looks around, he doesn't see his father or sees his mother. And then he starts to become hardened, like just, I can just do me, I just can hustle. So don't rely on a mother's love, don't rely on a father's love, just rely on instinct, pure instincts. And that's what would lead to many aggressive behavior in marriage, you know? Because that person could have probably been psychologically damaged at a very young age, but wants to change his life, find someone they love, but when they're in a relationship and they reject it, they don't know how to take rejection. They resort back to their only instinct, and that's the instinct of, and to them, survival. And that means getting aggressive, choking, and I'll kill you, and you know, and et cetera. Something I was looking for, I want to read it real quick if I could find it. I hope I have the right newspaper. So I guess I'm making some sense tonight on the topic of marital rape. You know, let's stop putting everything on the males. The males, in the last, like I said, in the last 40, 50 years, have not had true leadership on how to be a man and how to be a husband, or what it is to be a teenager, and what it is to become a man, and what a man's supposed to do when he is married, and what steps I take from a child turning a teenager to a young man. You know? Think about this. And I said this last week, to the most of the guys on the streets, you know, who, you know, turning in 30, 40, 50, okay? If you right now, as a man or as a female, and you don't have a plan, to say by the time you're 30 or 35, how far you would be in life. Now, it's going to be rough and tough, but set a guideline, right, on where your future's going to be. I'm going to be renting this place for a certain amount of time. And then I'm going to decide to pay rent to own. Like, what is the next step? You know? Or I'm going to work in this job for 15 to 20 years. I'm going to learn the trade. And then I'm going to start my own business, you know, learning off the business that I've had experience with for the last 20 or 30 years. You know, if you're frying Kentucky Fried Chicken and you're working now, you know, over 20, 30 years and you're a supervisor, you might not can't steal a recipe, but you're good enough to know how to get a spicy chicken or a fried chicken and do the fries. So why not start your own small business? You know, and these are the kind of things like what you have to program yourself to. Because you could imagine you are at the age of 50, 60. You have no roof over your head, no place to stay. Okay? Have 3-4 children. You live in the same community where your child live. And your child is looking for the same thing you're looking for a roof. And you walk in the street, see your child, and your child asks you, "Daddy, I'm hungry, Daddy, and Daddy, I have no place to stay. I can't come stay by you." But you don't have a place to stay for yourself. You understand? And you're gonna reject your own flesh and blood. Because you know what? You messed up about 30, 40 years of your life doing nothing. So all you is a waste of time because you wasn't able to do nothing with your life. So if you go to gunslinging, I believe you was the baddest bad boy out there, time is going to pass you by. You know what I say? And you're going to look back and reflect on your life. And when you see you don't have accomplished nothing with your life, you're going to be going crazy. And imagine how you would feel knowing that your son or daughter's out there and they're asking you for a roof to put over their head and you are responsible for making them on this earth and you can't even help them. So I'm saying this to all the bad boys out there. See all those guys with the Kong lampposts? I ain't better than nobody, but I try my best to put a roof over my head, to have income coming in, so I can survive. You understand? And help who I can help the best way I can with the little that I have, because I am the nice struggling too. You know? I don't take no proceeds that goes to community development and use it for my need. No, I still hustle around for my own personal use to get my restaurant up and running. So the one or two people who help me, I make sure it's limited where I'm held responsible. They don't give me no big bulk of money. Give me on a little budget, that's what I ask for. Because I never want to think I'm going to nobody to try to use them. Because they don't have to help me. And they don't have to help the community. They don't owe me nothing. But they decided to. And I always want to have an imprint to show people that we all not alike. That we all don't have this black crab syndrome where we're trying to bring down one another. You know, I want to set a precedent when people mention my name. They say, "Wow, that young boy was not about no money. All he was about was helping this country and helping those who he could help with the little voice he have on the radio and the stuff he's doing over the years with governments to better his little country and to better the citizens in his country." You know, and I had integrity and I was honest. And that's what it's all about. So reminder to you guys out there, especially you guys in prison. Your mom needs y'all help. And y'all can't help it because y'all in and out of prison. And y'all supposed to be this bad boy or this drug dealer. But yet still your mom ain't get a roof over here. Her siblings ain't getting a roof over here. Let me tell you what she is. I can tell you this. It's a piece of crap. Because the time wasted. About 20 years. You could take the time, invest it, and how you can better your future. Okay. You're on Inside NSC. Go ahead, caller.
My pleasure. Good evening, good buddy.
Good evening to you, sir.
You know who this is?
I can't see.
Don't guess. You know this, Sparky.
Man, Sparky, why you was messing around, man? Your waist changed, man. You must be in jungle day, man.
No. Ain't no brown water today.
See, that's the difference right there. That's how I supposed to be. You sound sober, man.
Screw it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you call it R&R, right?
Yeah.
Rest and relaxation.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes you got to ease off.
Yes, sir.
Because, you know, when them armies coming at you, you find out you're outnumbered.
Yes, sir.
You know, dogs is direct. They put the tail between the leg and what they do.
Yes, sir.
They head in the next direction, right?
Yes, sir.
So, you know, somebody just dropped me a little while ago. They say, I know you could call Scrooge and I could listen to you all night on the way.
Yeah.
They just dropped me on to Nick Dallin and I have to say, I know you and Scrooge could talk till I reach Sanssouci.
All right.
So, Scrooge.
Hey.
The other day, me and you was talking on Friday night, and all of a sudden, when I get off the show, I hear you was giving me all kind of accolades. Say, boy, thank you, Sparky. He was right on the ball that night and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I thank you that night. But, Scrooge, like I tell you, a lot of stuff you talking about, I know about, too. And I'm older than you. I'm 71.
Yeah.
So the time you came up, I came up to the time before that. When them things was introduced and them police and CID used to grab us off the corner and just cast down Bank Lane.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes, sir.
So I know about all that thing, but I never got into the heavy drugs, the cocaine and all that kind of thing. I just went into the marijuana. And after that, when I found out that I had a family name to protect,
yes, sir.
I decided to quit and just drink my little Guinness and my... Back then, we used to drink like Paulie coming out, Henneken and smoke rotten cigarette.
Yes.
And I decided I was going to change my life to go the straight and narrow way.
Yes, sir.
And then I see everything evolve back over again, Scrooge. Like what we're going through right now, this is the old thing coming back again, but it's coming back more dangerous.
Yes, that's what it is. Recycling.
And remember what I'm saying, Scrooge. Listen. If you could give me a moment and your producer, because sometimes, Scrooge.
No, it's some boss. We don't give you all the time. We give you sometimes. Because you
but say, Scrooge, sometimes the producers, when they get annoyed with Sparky, they cut me off. I know that.
That's it, Joe, Sparky.
Scrooge, let me tell you something. I just come from one of the places around by where you grew up.
Uh-huh.
I just leave around by Sweet Boy them.
Okay.
You know what that is, right?
Go ahead, Sparky.
Street boy them on Nassau Street.
Yes, sir.
And I was in there. When I walk in, everybody's like, oh, Jesus, Sparky Reach.
Okay.
And everybody says, Sparky, why everybody on these talk shows cut you off now? And everybody's want to listen to you, but everybody cutting you off. See, when talk shows come on,
Sparky.
Most of these talk show hosts, when they first come on, they'd be begging everybody to call them.
Uh-huh.
And then when they become popular,
uh-huh.
Then they start cutting everybody because now they get in charge.
Yeah. Well,
you see?
Yeah.
And they don't realize we all trying the same thing to make this country a better place.
Well,
the talk show host them won't be in charge and they won't be big time.
Well,
they won't be the Sydney Poitiers of the Bahamas.
Well, you ought to be anointed
you know?
With that.
And they don't realize they talking to somebody called Sparky who
Sparky.
Is around when talk show starts.
Sparky, listen to me. Get to your point, please.
Let me tell you, Scrooge, what you doing?
Yes, sir.
What you doing? Boy, look, all I can say is try your best and continue because there's a world out there, and you see it. I just see two fellas on my WhatsApp today laying on the doggone pavement again. Two fellas just get shoot today.
This is what I'm talking about now when we're talking about marital rape. All these things we got to consider because all this is about it. All this is connected. That's all I'm saying. Everything
but,
is connected.
Scrooge, guess what? What I'm saying is when I was growing up, we never saw things like that.
You didn't see this kind of stuff?
Scrooge, when I was growing up, we never even saw police with a gun.
Okay, well.
The police used to walk around something in their pocket called a
Billy.
Billy.
Uh-huh. We used to last catch that. I was the last one catch that right there with the Billy.
Now the police walking around in AK-47.
Well, we caused the police upgrade. The same youngsters who you're talking about right now on the phone right now, we just the one who caused the police
and
upgrade.
And the police walking around with bulletproof vests. And these fellas seem to have more gun than the police.
Yes, Sparky, what you expect when people desperate? Huh? When they know when high unemployment.
I see the other day, one fella gets shot in a government car, and they showing the fella laying in the seat with bullet in the head.
Yeah, Sparky, we get socialist.
I never saw this thing. And I tell you one thing, Scrooge. Our religious leaders, our political leaders, and our social leaders better get this thing under wraps.
Probably they can't get it under
wraps. Because these fellas, if they come to take you out, they coming to take you out.
Yes. Well, thank you very much, Sparky.
And Scrooge, let me tell you something. Sometimes, Scrooge,
hey.
I scared to venture out. I could have gone out one time ago, Scrooge. I could have gone out any hour of the night, walking if I want to, and come home safe. I scared to go out in the day.
Yeah, it's a serious time.
Well, and this country, this little island, 21 by 7. And I don't understand why we can't get this under control.
Let me tell you why I can't under control. But anyway, I'm going to speak on the spot. Well, thanks a lot, Sparky, for calling us.
Yes.
Thanks very much. You did a wonderful job. Yeah, that's the thing. Excuse me. Here's the thing. Sparky talked about, you know, they seems can't get it under control. And he talked about the pastors. It's not in the hands of the pastors because a lot of people out there, and I'm not being biased or saying anything bad against no particular pastors. The pastoring becomes a profession now. It's a job. It's not about spreading the word of God or spreading the word of Jesus. So they say. Some have been chosen to do this. Rest have just gone to the fall of fashion. Okay? Their heart and their mind is not in it, and they're not connected to God. Okay? They're in it for either fame, fortune, or for political purpose. If you look at the majority of the pastors in the country, you'd see most of them, some F&M, some PLP. Okay? So, even when they're supposed to do good for God, which they're supposed to be neutral, okay? They would either praise the political party or whatever it is they make their obligations to. Now, I'm not saying that's for all pastors, but look at the PLP convention or the F&M convention or when some pastors come on and speak. So those who are leading us are not actually leading us, you know. And then you will know who to trust in the country right now, you know. You understand? That's how serious it is. You know, like I said, I'm not talking about no one particular pastor in particular. It is what it is, you know. Church is supposed to be adopting kids in the community. Guys who come into prison should never be able to roam these communities and do what they want unless the church should be involved. The church should have a say on who is being released back in this community that the church resides in. There are many members with police officers and different government officials who are part of the church. And they could go in the highways and byways and make an impact. They also can dominate the prison with all these churches that we have here. The Bahamas has more church in the world than the Vatican City, right? The Bahamas has more churches than the Vatican City, which is the capital of Rome, and the capital of the Roman Catholic Church. And the Bahamas has over 5,000 churches in the country, in a 21 by 7, including the Family Islands. And you're trying to tell me with all these different denominations in this country, that they can't take back the country, who they preach that Jesus is Lord and God can do anything. And you can't come to the Father unless you go to the Son. But let us not reach in this generation of young people out here, because their Jesus now and that utopia that everyone speaks about is non-existent. In the inner city communities. In the inner city community is hell. We're living on hell. It's poverty. All right? It's people preying on one another. Okay? It's abuse. It's dialect vehicles. Empty houses. Neighbors can't get on with neighbors. All right? We're in a conflict zone in this country. All right? So pastors, you know, we can't see who the real one are. You know, even when people are optimistic about me. Well, if you want to be optimistic about me, just check my background. Anyone who know me always know I was always concerned about people more than myself. And I've done everything in my power that God has given me, that when I sit down and meet with the people who control this country, or the people who have authority to make amendments, I've given myself freely. I'm not getting paid like a college rate, not saying I'm using his name, or Rodney Monka. Are they getting paid? I'm not getting paid. I'm doing this free. If you listen, I'm a advisor on many boards for many, many years. I've never been offered a contract. So my heart is in this. It's not about the money for me. I'm not saying Carlos Reed or Rodney Monka is about the money, but they're getting paid. So it still ties in that they're still about the paper, regardless. They still needed to make things happen for other people, which they are entitled to. So if you're ever going to question me, think about that. And I've done programs that are national programs for the country that is beneficial to the country over the course of my 20 years as an activist. And legislation have been passed with me speaking to people in government over the years. Yeah. You know, so it's not about the money with me. And like I said, some people deserve to get paid because the work is hard. You understand? So that's the difference. You know, I always would volunteer. But this year coming up, I could get paid too because I needed to do some programs in the area and help myself. So I got to stop being so gullible and start to realize that you could do more with some little government funds. Hey, what do you think? Huh? Yeah, man. Because if my input is valuable, we have to be going to so much advisory board meeting, and I'm always one to speak and everyone takes note. And these notes are taken down and they be taken to the proper authorities and then passed as legislation. Very interesting. Yeah, so I just want to say that. You know, we have a lot of issues. And that's why I'm saying now when the first lady talks about the marital rape issue, and I totally agree that no is no. But there's so many dynamics to it that they're going to have to consider about this whole matter. Because I tell you, it comes from our ability to understand that all these are connected. See, we're always picking points like the marital rape or crime or mental illness or social service. It's all of those and poverty. See, when we're speaking about any one of these subjects, and this is what I get to learn, all those in one are the problems to crime. All those combined, what they just call, are the problems of crime. Unless we understand that, we'd always be to the box. See, this is the box, what I mean. What the Lady Davis is doing, this is the box, but it's not the front. You understand? So even if we make amendments to the box, we still have to try to get to the front. So all of that is connected. Connected with the prison, connected with the community, connected with marital rape, connected with poverty, unemployment, all of this is connected. You see? And that's what I get to realize. Social service. All the information, social service, all the information on mental health, all that about post-traumatic stress, all that about abuse, and social service statistics on the abuse that goes home with the kids and et cetera. The marital rape, what it is, the violent behavior, of the kids and the teenagers, all that is connected. So that's all I'm saying, You know, they own only little pieces that we're trying to key in on and make it such a big deal. See, that's a little piece we're dealing with. You know, so we're going to deal with all those. Yeah, so let me get to this interesting part I got. I got 25 more minutes before the show ends. So I guess that was a good segment of the show, and I'm sure everyone had a good understanding. See, there's certain things I could interpret to you what I've inherited, people. You know, I've inherited a lot of wisdom over the course of the years with my background in the inner city community, and I could see the problems and put them together and bring it to the general public, and I'm good at that. I'm good at finding solutions for problems in the country. I'm good at that, you know. I'm good at finding a solution. I'm good at that, you know. So last week, we were talking about unemployment, one part of the show. And I mentioned the fact that the One Family Group, which is my group in my community, the Saxon Group, which has been one of the major groups in that area for close to 50 years. And then we have the Valley and then the Roots and et cetera. But just say the three major groups when we talk about the Valley, the Saxons, the One Family, and then we're going to add the Roots in there, and then we could say the Genesis and et cetera. When you look at these communities, especially when we have high unemployment, I don't understand how we could have such high unemployment in the country, and especially these communities, and especially to be poorish. Because the last thing I heard is all the sponsors that the major groups get from different organizations. I can remember over the years, I would hear Shell would sponsor the Saxons or the Wally Boys or Aqua Pure, or the, and the government would give them sponsors, or the Cruise Line would give them sponsors over the years. And when I look at how much money was involved in it, I say, wow, that's very beneficial. And just a drunken parade. And this is just a donation to the organization, to the One Family, to the Saxon, and to the Wally Boys, and et cetera. And they was getting sponsors from all around the country, and some close to a couple $100,000, et cetera, or whatever. I could be wrong, but a couple $100,000 apiece, and et cetera. And they would go, then they'd pay for all the drunken costumes and stuff like that. But when I go to the shack sometime, I would see where persons who go in and put their blood, sweat, and tears into their group, you know, they would have to be buying their certain supplies, you know, because I'm not a junkanoo. I always used to be in the shack with all my boys, them Bomba and Chucky, them, they junkanoos. You know, most of the guys in the area are junkanoos, One Family, so they stay in the shack. So normally I would go around, I look just once in a while, and let's go to the shack and have a little conversation, because I'm not a junkanoo, but I understand junkanoo. And some of the guys I see be spending their own money. So, you know, over the years I ask them, well, how come you all spending your money, especially if the group get funds? And some of them say, man, they say, you know, funds there for this and that. And these guys have spent hundreds of dollars on their costume, you know, just for the love of junkanoo. But the leaders of the organization, I'm not talking about no one in particular, I'm just using this for example, leaders. But the leaders of the organization, the ones who receive the sponsors. So I'm trying to figure out where the funds go. All right? Now, I'm just being curious. Now, I could be dead wrong for saying this, okay? And I don't want to ruffle them no feather, but I'm just having a conversation, because I see a lot of profit can be made in the junkanoo venture here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and I'm going to give you a prime example in the future, in a few minutes. All right? So, the Saxons are a group that are spared by my friend Willa Francis. I used to live in the back of Willa Francis through Lewis Street when the Francis Hotel was there. And Willa helped start the Saxon group in Mason Addition, which is only a few feet away from Lewis Street, and they started the Saxon group. It became one of the major groups in the country, with enormous first place awards, along with a lot of second place. But it doesn't matter, they were a major group and winning many awards. The Wally has the most, Saxon is closing, and One Family, I think, is third, like, followed by the Roots. And what I'm trying to figure out, and when I was saying about the leaders getting the funds, so people go in and put all their hard-earned money, they put their time in, because they go to the shop. Some of them have their wife, their girlfriend, and their girlfriend is bringing them food to the shop. They're staying until the morning. They're helping with the costume. And they're doing us all for love. But I want to question the leaders of all these organizations. And here's the reason why I'm going to question all of the leaders of the organization. I feel personally the junk canoe industry can be a billion-dollar industry when it comes to junk canoe tourism. Over the hill. Dantan, Grunstein, Mason Edition. We have an influx of guests coming over to check the various junk canoe sharks in these communities. And this is the idea I'm putting forward now. And here's why I'm saying that. Here's what I get to understand. Leaders get this funds. Those who get best costume get a little sniping, a little $2,000, $5,000, etc. Right? Sometimes they spend more money than that on their costume. Sometimes the leaders give them the money to finish some of the costume. But nevertheless, some of these guys yesterday into junk who spend thousands and hundreds of dollars on their costume, only to go and be, if they don't place, I lose everything. But the junk canoe leaders and organization, they receive funds, right? So we have a high unemployment in the country. We have guests want to come in the inner city communities. We have talented junk canoe artists here and there. We have talented wood carvers. And my recommendation is to the junk canoe shark leaders in these communities, establish a woodwork carving shop and junk canoe souvenir shop, and help those who live in the area, who are unemployed but have talent, to do some junk canoe doors and help them start their small business up in that vicinity. Could you imagine in Mason Edition right now, which is a Saxon, right? Sell Saxon superstars. Their steps coming down. That's the Fort Castle. You have 3-4 million visitors coming in, but we need attractions. So attractions means we need the park, we need different stalls set up on the side of the roads or to your home. We need the local bars open. We need some green spaces where we got people coming, tourists coming, use Wi-Fi. We need protection, and we could provide that in the community because this is one of the priorities. But anyway, tourists, to me, are customers. They're not visitors, all right? They want to spend American dollars in the Bahamas, not all on Bay Street. They're tired of Bay Street. But what we have to offer is one of the most beautiful, spectacular things they could imagine. Could you imagine us having people selling junk canoe souvenirs all year round in Mason Edition? Someone is selling junk canoe shirts or Bahamian souvenirs. Someone is braiding hair. Someone is a nail technician. We have barber who cut Caucasian hair. We have people who baking their bread. We have people who are doing tours. We have guys who are doing walking tours. We have bicycle tours. We have motorbike tours. All this happening in one little area. You know how much different jobs this create just because you're using the junk canoe as advertisement? The shops are open. Tourists could pay $1 or $2 to walk in. We have taxi drivers who would bring them over the hill and carry them to the various different shacks. And while they're driving in their car, they could stop along the road, see a young guy who good at wood carving. He didn't have no customers. He didn't be aiming to buy them. But now you have guests who are fascinated by the work he is doing. And if they're a reasonable price, like a little $25 or $15, in one day time, with a volume of customers coming in from the cruise port, which is only driving distance and walking distance. You know how much employment this could bring in that inner city community alone? So to me, the leaders of the Sharks, Saxon, Willa, you need to be more creative. You have a gold mine in that community that can help benefit that community in unemployment. don't have to be in Mason edition. Okay? Same thing with Grandstand and Lewis Green, Hedge Green, Dillard. I'm doing that now. You know, I'm creating an atmosphere like that right now in my community with my private sponsors and the people who are helping me. And that's what I'm doing for my community. And I'm building a workshop. This is my last thing I'm giving to the community. We have a brand new center building with Lenahan. But we have a next one I'm doing privately that is going to teach them how to do wood carving and souvenirs. And then help them set up their business in that particular zone so we all could benefit from the tourism industry. Okay, we're going to take this last call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the City.
Hello. Scrooge.
Hey.
Sorry to call you back, but let me tell you something. What you're saying just now, let me show you the truth what you're talking about. Remember one time ago, they used to call it the Bay Street Boys, and Bay Street was the place to go?
Yes, sir.
You notice what happened? All the Bay Street Boys, what they did, they moved over the hill down in the city 2000.
Mm-hmm.
All the Chinese who used to be up around Bay Street.
Yes, sir.
They move over the hill through all our little corners. Sure, but listen to Sparky now. All our little corners, you got Chinese all over the place. You got all the Bay Street Boys move all of their stuff mm-hmm. over past Wolf Road down into Prince Charles on East Street and South and what you call it? The Southwest Nassau down and Carmichael Road.
Yeah.
Everybody move off of Bay Street around there because they followed the population.
That's right.
Scrooge, when I was growing up, the taxi drivers used to come around in Madera Street area and thing, bring tourists. The horse and carriage
mm-hmm.
used to come over the hill down in the valley and all that kind of thing.
And we had the American money in our pockets.
Well, guess what? You notice what happened is now. Look. Honest the truth now, right? They've been telling the tourists, don't fool over the hill. Go Bay Street, go down by Junkaroo Beach, go to Fish Fry, go there and go back to the boat.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what?
Mm.
You know what's going on.
I know
over
what's going on.
City 2000.
Yes, sir. I know.
You can't even drive there. The traffic's so tight every morning to evening right now. Mm. Everything is over the hill.
Yes.
The tourists round Fish Fry, Bay Street, round by the point,
mm-hmm.
and back to the boat.
That's right.
And they're trying to keep them around Atlantis and Bahama.
Yes.
But them tourists really want to see where the people live, you know.
I agree. Well, thanks very much. You did a wonderful job, and I like the fact that Sparky talked about that. And that's correct. There should be no unemployment really in the Bahamas, because if we could get that flow of guests to come in Grandstand and Mason Edition and Bantan, that money could trickle down and go further in the community. And as it trickled down, we start to get an understanding what needs to be done to the community, what can be added to the community. And then we can start to build more little mini scroll markets in the Pacific spot where we could have like 20 vendors, you know, where they could set up their stall as they go with the plan on the cleanup plan, on the association plan, because, you know, we have to make sure safety is priority in the community. And that's going to take everyone who work in that Pacific spot. So it's going to take them having meetings, strategizing, and it's going to be most important to know that how they can benefit from the tourism industry in the country. You know, here's a prime example. I looked at the model that Edmund Moxie, the late, great Edmund Moxie, and I had a fact to meet with Rita Pratt, who did the book for me about Dr. Martin Luther King's visit to the Bahamas. In fact, his first visit to the Bahamas was in 1956 to Lewis Creek, not in Bimini. It was actually in Grandstand where I live, and we got that documented. And that's one of the things that I'm working on now. They bring the tourists to Grandstand because I'm going to use the history that I found along with the late Dr. Rita Pratt and Mr. Panza. And I'm going to use that as when Dr. Martin Luther King boy, they come up, I would use that as an attraction, set it up nice and beautiful throughout Lewis Creek, and have the guests come in, and I'd have the local bars, I'd have my restaurant open, I'd have little grain spots set up, I'd have the park set up, you know, for little stalls and et cetera. And we're going to have a lot of stops for the tourists to stop in the Lower Street and Hay Street area. And that's what I'm working on. And I say shame on the leaders of the organization, this group, because money gets donated, all right? And it never reaches the guys who go there and support these groups, who spend their money, who spend the time in the shacks when we're working 24/7. I'm going back to Edmund Moxey. Edmund Moxey, at the time, was a very ambitious and visionary. He was able to talk to Sir Stafford Sands, who was the Minister of Tourism at that time, and it stated that. I read the book named Fate That Moves the Mountain. It was a gift from me from Sir Ronald Fox's wife and family before she passed away. I got it from Rosalie Fox, Sir Ronald Fox's daughter, and I read the book. And in the book, it talks about how Edmund Moxey was able to negotiate with the then Minister of Tourism, Sir Stafford Sands. And it stated in the book, The Fate That Moves the Mountain, that Edmund Moxey went to Sir Stafford Sands and asked him, "Man, Chief, excuse me, you have all the businesses downtown, the wholesale places, the tourists coming off the ship downtown." He says, "Sir, there's a big population in the Bahamas and a lot of people are unemployed and we need to empower people." So he talked to him and he said, "Sir, what do you think is possible? If that we can negotiate, we could open some small businesses over the hill. And if that, we can get some of the tourists to come over the hill at the nighttime and spend some money." So read the book, The Faith That Moves the Mountain. And it stated that Sir Stafford Sands said to the late, great Edmund Moxey, "Man, look here, you best come and you're talking foolishness." Well, that's the phrase, you know. And it was stated that a few days later, they stated that Sir Stafford Sands was a man who was humble, and he think it true. And he called Mr. Moxey, Edmund Moxey, and he asked him, "What you propose?" And the proposal was that you allow Bay Street to close at 5:00. So Sir Stafford Sands saying, "Okay, we're going to close down Bay Street at 5:00, and then we're going to allow the tourists to go over the hill at 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1:00. And that's what the deal to empower the black businesses. So I guess there were funds given to the owners of black businesses. So that's how we get a lot of convenience stores. That's how we had a lot of barber stores. That's where we had a lot of fishman. That's where we had a lot of coconut man. We had a lot of visitors. Motels was being built in the community, like the France Hotel, Zanzibar, the Ryan, what is it? The Ryanard Hotel. Airbnb was created in the inner city community, and we had over, according to our famous golfer, he stated that we had over 10,000 small businesses or more from Bay Street to Wolf Road. And we're talking about bakeries, we're talking about barbershops, we're talking about bars, we're talking about snack food stands, some of the stands that you're seeing today. If you look on East Street, you'd see like where they're selling breakfast. All right? And they were created to help start some milk stands. You see those milk stands, like sticky milk stand, and then you see the one down there on East Street, on the end of Brom Street. And then you see one on the end of Mason Addition Street. All of them were milk stands. All of it was created to start small business. So we had a variety of small businesses. So when the tourists, the cruise ship line closed at 5, all of them were to come over the hill and they would bring American money to spend. And many Bahamians was able to create a living, and that's how many Bahamians was able to send their kids to college, you know, to become successful. And then many people were able to move out the inner city communities. But the matter of fact is, we didn't have an unemployment problem. We didn't have a money problem. In fact, when I was a kid, I can remember this. Around the Franz Hotel, that's around 5, 6, 7. The stop to rent was around 10. The streets used to be littered with money. Okay? The streets, through Lewis Street, used to be littered with money. Coins used to litter the streets. Behemoths never used to pick up money. You know, when you used to ask somebody for money back in the day, when people go in their pockets, the money used to drop out. The fishman would go in his pocket to give you change. And he would have so much money that when the money dropped on the ground, he ain't even picking it up. You understand? That's so much money. Listen, that's how it was. I witnessed this in my eyes. And anyone who were living back in the early 70s and 80s could tell you the streets used to be littered with coins and money back in the days. That's how much money used to be in the Bahamas. We had the Capitol Theater. So we had theaters, you know. So there was a lot of small businesses, and Edmund Moxey was able to persuade Christopher Sands, and they created Jumbe Village. And the tourists used to go from Bay Street, straight down there on Blue Road to Jumbe Village, which was right where the new National Insurance Board is. And that was Jumbe Village. And tourists used to travel there, and they used to go then to patronize behemoths. And many behemoths were able to patronize, but then we ran away from that. Now we get high unemployment in the country. We took away the skills of the natives. You know, we gone from being natives, you know, where we had a revenue stream of the tourism industry, all right? We gone to a concrete city where we lose our identity. We had a good farming industry, agriculture industry, you know. We used to trade with Haiti and Jamaica. On Prince George Wharf out there. When I was a little boy, there used to be Haitian sloops out there and Jamaicans out there, Trinidadians out there. And all of them used to be trading all kind of different fruits from around the Caribbean. There were bananas, oranges, pineapple, avocado. What you could imagine was out there from the different trading countries that used to settle at Prince George Wharf. Okay? I can remember. And that's when we had the family structure, you know. The fisherman used to ride on the bike and say, "Fishman, fishman." I was a little boy, used to go in front of the yard, and my grandma tell me, "Give me $20 with a jack, $10 with a snapper, $10, $5 with a jack, or goggle eye." So we used to get like 3 or 4 different fish, because the fisherman riding the bike, he had this bike with this little small wheel in the front and this big wheel in the back, and he had this big basket on the front. And no flies flying with him wherever he go. But he pocket full of money. And he riding out, and he's saying, "Fishman," that'll come to the gig, because he's like doing that. And I would say, my grandmother won, Miss Trace won 20 or 25. And the fisherman knew where he went. So he said, "Mama Trace, what kind of fish you want today?" "Well, I said, Scoochie, I want some goggle eye, Easter coming. I want some snapper." And they used to bring the fish to you. So we have to get creative again, you know. They're the kind of stuff that, you know. And last but not least, this goes to my friend Bappy. And that's why I say a lot of funds can be made in the junk canoe if you think this way. So the hell with the leaders. You hear me, guys? You guys get together, set up something in Mason Edition. You guys get together as a team and come with your strategies. Start doing your craft work. Using your hands and clean up your neighborhood and start to invite the tourists to come down your area to spend a little dollars. Look at the tourists as customers, you know. Behemoths are not going to be able to buy those stuff. That's why a lot of businesses are not profiting now, because we have 7 to 4 million visitors coming to our shores. We had 7 million about 2017, 2018, right? The highest it ever been is in 2017, 2018. I think it was 7 million visitors. But we never really benefit off it the way we're supposed to benefit off it. Right? Could you imagine, hey, if he was to really benefit the tourism industry, where we get them to come in these inner city communities, where there are a host of small businesses, and be able to spend American dollars or the new cards, which what we call it now, cryptocurrency, and et cetera, that they're using now. But, you know, we'd have to be properly trained. We could work on that, because the world is going to digital. So this is something have to be taught. So classes are going to be going on at the Lenhan Community Center on the new cryptocurrency, exchange and how we're going to have to adapt, because most of us who are in the industry are going to have to adapt to it, because the tourists who come to the shore, sometimes they don't carry cash. They use credit cards and cryptocurrency, and your cash register is going to have to be able to deal with it and to make sure that everything is legit, and, you know, and make sure you don't get swing, because, you know, there's a lot of trickery going on too, and you have to be up to date as we can see with FDX, you know. And I would just like to say this on ending. The whole situation with FDX is that we shouldn't be blamed here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. I feel that if anyone is to blame, it's the financial sector that allowed FDX to come here in the country and do business here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. I believe that the proper authority should be held. I think central bank is responsible to make sure that all corporations are legit and government is responsible. But the financial jurisdiction falls in the United States of America to make sure that all non-profit or businesses that come to the country is legit. So it's on the fault of the U.S. For allowing the company to come into the Bahamas in the first place. It also falls on the central bank, which has to do the background check also. So it doesn't fall on us. It falls on the U.S., you know. And then I saw the information they are saying about those who get donations from FTX might have to give it back. And I saw singing profits and the money going. He made me laugh. And he's correct. You should never, ever assume that the funds given to a charity organization should give the funds back. The singing bishop, Lawrence Roll, cannot be held or even questioned, because before you could go to him, you have to go to central bank, you have to go to the Bahamas government, you have to go to the financial sector, which is headed by the U.S. Financial sector, before you even get to Mr. Prophet, singing Prophet Lawrence Roll. Okay? So we can't be held responsible. Central bank, hey? Government, and then the U.S. financial sector. And then it seems to me that the owner of FTX, he seems that he was too lax and didn't check his employees, because it seems to me that many of them got greedy and started to do transactions off their own to benefit them. And I think with buying real estate into $500 million in the Bahamas, and then around the world, they were doing some things that was not part of the portfolio of the company. And then off of FTX giving my partner organization Lenahan $1 million. No, you have to go to the financial sector. You have to go to the central bank, figure out what went wrong. You have to go to the financial sector of the U.S., because it can't be to the Bahamas, because we don't allow those things to come to our country unless they're checked by the financial sector, either the European financial sector or the U.S. financial sector. And if they say it's legit, then Lawrence Roll is legit, Lenahan is legit. You can't blame the country itself, all right? You cannot blame the country itself. FTX incident goes to the U.S. financial sector, the European financial sector, then central bank, and then the Bahamas government. So I hope you guys had a wonderful time listening to the show here tonight on Guardian Radio. Like I said, I support the Prime Minister's wife, First Lady, Mrs. Davis, 150% with the marital rape. But like I said, there's a lot to consider. It can't be one way, you know, where it's just in the woman's favor. Like I said, we have a lot of abusive women out there, and we have a lot of women out there who aren't women, who don't have the proper training, like how Ms. Davis has that proper training, how to be a husband, how to be a wife, and a good one at that. All right? So, I hope you enjoyed the show. And I'll see you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm Valentino Brand, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City. See you next week. If God's for life. on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Bro, bro.
What happened? Huh? Straight
to the Bean Town, right
from Bean Town.
Where you do the Bean Town?
All of
again? I represent Bean people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Bean Town, bro.
What?
Boy, I from Bean Town, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Bean Town, bro.
Huh?
Boy, I from Dayton, bro.